it's worth remembering that our experience will be very diverse. There'll be every kind of experience in this room. And also it can be very diverse from one sitting to another one. And you may have an ecstatic, wonderful, peaceful sitting, and you think, ah, I've done it, I've got it. And the next one is a disaster, with everything hurting and restlessness and agitation and you name it. And so just to be aware that we aren't here to design our experience. Our experience will come as it comes. So, and also not to be, when I'm giving instructions, and when all of us, Lila and Zohar, myself, give instructions, we're really trying to cover many different kinds of experiences that you may have, but it doesn't mean that you've got to have all those experiences. And if we talk about emotions, for example, and you have absolutely no emotion in this retreat, who cares? Just because someone next to you is crying doesn't mean to say you also have to cry. So just to be aware of that there is we all make our path up the mountain. It's an individual journey. There are basic principles of practice, but what we experience, each one of us, is really based on our own karma, our own personality, our own tendencies, and so on and so on. And whatever comes, welcome. Kol ma sheba, baruch haba. So a few words about the attitude. The attitude to our sitting and walking. Firstly, I think it's helpful to keep surrendering, because there's a tendency to struggle with everything. It's just a habit to try and get it better, to try and change things, to try and improve things. It's fine, that's what we tend to do in our life. But an attitude of surrender helps us to get in touch with something underneath, the being in us that is just being. And so Dharma is not to be passive. Surrender is not about passivity. We're working actually very hard here. There's a lot of activity going on with our mind and body. So it's not passive, but surrender is a kind of trust the process, just trusting and reducing the struggle. And with that, just reflect again on the refuge. The fact that we can feel, as the Buddha said in the last sentence before he died, be an island to yourself. It means hold yourself like in your two hands, like be a mother to yourself, be a father to yourself, be a refuge. That sense of being an island, autonomous, taking your place in the world, trusting, and finding a home in my world, in this minute, in this experience. So remember the refuge, the movement, maybe at the beginning of every sitting, I'm at home, I take refuge, I find my refuge, miflat, miklat, in my experience right now. Another thing that's helpful in the attitude is some respect. It's actually a nice word in English, because respect means to look again, comes from the Latin. Spec means to see, and re is again. So respecting means to take another look, to look again, to respect yourself and your experience. Our life is precious. So this is a helpful attitude to help our practice. The breath, for example, is not meaningless, irrelevant, relatively uninteresting, boring process that's happening by itself. It's a breath of life. And when we look again at the breath, we can see it in different eyes as something precious to us, as something interesting, as something that has messages. So this is another attitude that will help us. Respect, khpatiyut, caring for whatever it is that we're looking at, whether it's the breath or the namalim in the ants crawling in the grass outside. Respect, look again at the sun and the moon, the sky and the earth, at this body, at this mind. Okay. And a final attitude I want to mention briefly now is attitude of the right kind of energy. It does need energy, this process. If we find we're too tired, we need to do something to lift the energy, maybe to breathe deeply, to stand up, to lift the energy. But the energy is not the energy of super discipline, hard work, struggle against ourselves. It's much more the energy of a chicken sitting on eggs. And you know, the chickens have to sit on the eggs for 21 days, never mind what they think. I want my chicks to come out. No, no, why don't they come out? I'm waiting here, sitting already 20 days. I can't do it anymore. No, they will not come out until 21 days. So you be like chicken sitting on eggs. You just stay right there through thick and thin. Have that energy, a little bit of determination, of sitting solidly, with energy, with some determination, but without struggle and fighting against yourself. So there is a middle way here which we need to learn, which is not too much struggle, but not too much kind of lazy spiritual laziness, expecting things to happen when we really don't put anything in. So it's kind of between the two is the middle way. Okay? So a small bit of simply information. We're really spreading ourselves between two kinds of areas of practice. One is a mindfulness, and in the Pali it's sati. And sati is our ability to notice things. But sati also means remembering. And so every time we go off somewhere in our thoughts, we just go off, the thoughts take us and we suddenly find ourselves somewhere else 5 minutes later and we don't know what's happened to us. We come back. We remember to be aware. Sati is being knowing what's happening and remembering to come back, to reconnect. Bearing in mind that we will forget. That's why the word sati is about remembering. We do forget. Don't give yourself a hard time. If you find yourself 10 minutes, you don't know where you've been. You've been definitely somewhere else. And it could be Tel Aviv, it could be what's happening next week, it could be what you're going to say to somebody in the telephone, it could be anything, you're just not here. That's natural. And sati is coming back. And be aware of that process of coming back to being present. And getting lost and coming back. It's all right. Don't give yourself a hard time about forgetting. It's what everyone does. So forgetting, remembering, forgetting, remembering, keep coming back. That's sati. And as much as we can, being really close to the object that we're seeing. The breath, really being intimate. What really is happening? Opening the box. That's also sati. Opening the box. What really is going on in this one breath? It's rough, it's smooth, it's rich, it's not so rich, it's flat, it's interesting, it's boring, it's difficult, I'm controlling it, it's controlling me. many issues can be around one breath. Mindfulness is seeing the richness in this moment. Okay? It's like discovering a new territory. Imagine that you were put in a desert island somewhere, you didn't know where you were put there. Actually, I feel like that every time I go to Tel Aviv. God knows how I got here. But here I am walking along Diesendorf Street. It's a new territory. And it's like discovering a new land. So that's the attitude with which we come to each moment of our experience. And that's mindfulness. Remembering, getting close, getting intimate, and opening up the territory. But the other side is samadhi, or concentration or steadiness of mind. And this is just our sense of being, moment after moment, concentrated, steady and quiet. Okay, so we move between more just being quiet, steady, and exploring. Samadhi is really our ability to keep going. So it's not just mindfulness in one moment, but we keep going. The continuity. So at this point I want to say, please try and have the whole day as your practice session. 24 hours practice. So that all the experiences that you go through, whatever they are, in the hall, outside, when we walk, the taste of the food, when we go to sleep, when we get up in the morning, when we brush our teeth, when we look up at the sky, whatever, when we exercise our body, all of those experiences are like beads on a thread, and the thread is our continuous presence, awareness. We know what's going on all the time. We are right here all the time. So try and begin to include everything into practice. Again, with compassion, we will forget, we will not be here, and then we will be here again. It's okay, but the intention of 24-hour practice. Now the ground of our practice is the breath and the body. It is still the main focus of our practice because we are really trying to build a practice which you can then also use in your life when you leave here too. And so the breath and the body are fundamental places where we keep coming back. When in doubt of what to observe with mindfulness, body, breath. When in doubt, go there. And whatever we experience, keep coming back to breath and body. It's the spine of our practice, it's the ground of our practice. Okay? We keep coming back there. It gives us the stability, the steadiness, the concentration, and ties us very easily into the present moment. More easy with breath and body than with, for example, moods, matzavei ruach, that change. So breath and body are our fundamental. And remember, we're talking about, as the Buddha said, see the body in the body, means the bodiness of the body, gufaniyut shel haguf. Not thoughts about the body or ideas about the body or what you want the body to be, but how it really feels as body, as lived body. Tchushot, touch of the air on the skin. It's body. Okay? In addition, there will be all kinds of experiences that happen to us. One experience that we already discussed, and I won't go into it too much, Leela discussed this before, is of course that the body doesn't feel good. There's pain in the body, and when there's pain in the body, we can turn our attention, as Leela said, to the pain and see it as an experience with respect, explore what it's like to have a painful sensation in the body, what it's saying to us, how it is for us, how we relate to it, what it does to us, what we do to it. But more subtly, we also go through pleasant and unpleasant sensations, which are not just not pain, but they may be simply unpleasant, like some discomfort, some stress in the body, or like some food that doesn't taste good, or like you're too hot, or you're too cold, or uncomfortable, you want to lie down, or the opposite, very pleasant, the most amazing soup that you eat and you enjoy, or moments of joy and happiness, or moments where you feel so comfortable and peaceful. Doesn't matter, just knowing pleasant and unpleasant, include it as part of the territory of your mindfulness. So as you're paying attention to breath and body, there may be pleasant and unpleasant sensations in breath and body. There may be pleasant and or unpleasant when you walk outside, or when you eat, or when you brush your teeth. So just include that territory, because we're usually controlled by pleasant and unpleasant. And here is an opportunity to be bigger than pleasant or unpleasant, to actually stop and look at it rather than being controlled by it. And one thing that I think we forgot to mention about pain, just a small additional point, that it's sometimes quite helpful to choose a place in the body that has no pain, and really practice with no pain, so that when you're practicing with a pain in the body, see what it's like. For example, the back hurts, how are the hands? And really go deeply into the sensation of the fingers touching each other, for example, and just see how that it makes a difference to your inner world. And if you're outside in the daily life and you have pain in the body, it's a very useful thing to learn, that you can just really focus on a non-pain area of the body, and the mind can't really do two things at once. So if it's with non-pain, then the pain sort of kind of collapses. In addition to that, there is all the things that come up for us in the retreat. We are sitting minding our own business, not harming anybody, and up comes anger. There can be a whole variety of things that come up for us. There are five classical what's called hindrances, machsomim, but really there are kind of opportunities to practice, which can be restlessness, isheket, or it can be desire that you're really turning around, I need this, I need that, or it can be aversion, that I just don't like this, I don't like the air conditioning, and I don't like the temperature, and I don't like the food, or it can be aversion, don't like myself, or it can be tiredness, and sleepiness, even if we slept really well, as soon as we meditate, we suddenly find ourselves on the floor. Or it can be confusion, doubt, a lot of thinking, oh, I don't know what's going on, I don't know why, what's happening, who am I, what's going on, kind of a... questioning, a sort of non-stop questioning. These are some examples of things that come up very, very naturally. And there can be emotion. There can be anxiety. There can be anger. There can be resistance. There can be love. There can be sadness. There can be regret or guilt or blame. So these are the things that karma might just offer to you. And it's kind of our purpose here is really to allow these things to be there and not to see them as problems. So switch the tendency. Tendency is to say, I can't meditate because anxiety. Yeah, I feel so anxious, I can't contact my breath, I just feel anxious. Leave the breath. Turn to the anxiety, because that's the guest. Ha'oreach. There's the guest. So turn to the anxiety and feel the quality of anxiety in the body, in the mind, wherever you experience it, as a phenomena. Mamash phenomenologic. Tofa'a. Here is signs of anxiety. Maybe it's in the breath, maybe it's in the belly, maybe it's in the heart pumping, maybe it's a discomfort in the body, maybe it's a stream of thoughts that just runs like crazy. Doesn't matter where you see it. First of all, just recognize what it is. That's the most important step. To turn towards it and say, okay, here is anxiety. I see you. I know what you are. You are anxiety. It's a crucial first step in freeing us from anxiety or from anger or from, as I said, desire or any of the hindrances. Turn towards and say, oh, restlessness. I see you. You are called restlessness. You can even give it a light little note. Ah, restlessness. I see you. Okay? It's an essential first step is to be able with the mind to look at our experiences and know it. Know the guest for what he is or she is. Be a witness to the content that comes up by itself. We don't expect it to go away just because we look at it. We just are with it. Without expectation, without pushing it away, without fighting it. But the key is that when we look at these things, we actually notice that they go away by themselves, that they move and change by themselves. So the second part, after recognizing and seeing the content that arises, is just to be able to see the way it changes and goes. It has a beginning and a middle and an end. It always changes and goes in the end. It's always dynamic. And this is the process of vipassana. Recognizing that things come and go by themselves and we are the witness. That means we are essentially the master of our inner world instead of the slave to whatever's coming up. We have the power just to sit there and allow the guests to come in and come out. There is a quote from Achan Chah that said, all of these guests come in and they want to sit down in our mind, but there's only one seat and you're there, so it has to go, it has nowhere to sit. So it tries to sit down and there isn't a place for it to sit, it goes again. Kind of allowing that to happen. So everything that comes then goes away. And sometimes we can give it a little helping hand. I don't mean to give it a kick to get out, but to say, okay, yes, yeah, you know, now that's it. I drop it. I let it go. It's a little helping hand for it, for the guest. You show the guest the door. Okay? There's the door. One of the most wonderful enlightenment stories, Zen stories that I know, it's the shortest and one of the best. There's someone that's going, traveling, looking for the master, looking for the great master that to learn from. And he gets passed from village to village and said, look for that old man there, he's in that village. He travels, he finds eventually the old man who is the great master. And the old man has a bundle of pieces of wood on his shoulder. And the student says to the old man, tell me, what is liberation? What do I do? Tell me the secret. And the old man took the bundle of wood off his shoulder and put it on the ground. And the student said, ah. And then what? The old man picked up the bundle and put it on his shoulders and went on. So don't forget to drop the bundles that come, that we carry. We can give them a little help because they are themselves dynamic. They do pass and they do change, but sometimes we can say, that's enough. We can drop them. The restlessness, for example, I drop it. I'm going back to breath and body. I'm not interested in you anymore. Bye-bye. So the whole journey, now we're beginning to see, as a final word, is a journey in which we experience who we are in the mirror by sitting 45 minutes and walking 45 minutes, whether it's boring or interesting, whether it's fun or it's not, whether we have painful experiences or unpainful, not painful or pleasant experiences. We are looking in the mirror, and the whole journey is about being freer than those experiences. So allowing them to happen without censorship, but just the sense that we can be the container of our experience. And that's non-attachment. Letting things come and go, we then find our freedom. And it's the fundamental way in which we deal with human suffering. So let's take some time now to practice, and then we'll be doing a guided walking outside after that.